This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Getting our share of Citigroup.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. How would you feel about this scenario? We, the taxpayers, could own around 40% of Citigroup without having to spend any additional money on the bank. Marketplace's Dan Gretsch explains.
Right now, the government's stake in Citigroup is at 8%. In October, Treasury dumped $25 billion into Citigroup. In November, it spent another $20 billion. Last week, the troubled bank's stock price fell to under $2, an 18-year low. This week, regulators are expected to perform tests on Citigroup, and a larger government stake would shore up the bank's financial health. Federal officials are in talks to convert bailout funds to common stock. The move would give the government much greater control in the bank's day-to-day operations, and it wouldn't cost taxpayers anything, since the money is already committed to the bank. Markets around the world are reacting favorably to the news. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
This morning in Europe, shares of the company were up as much as 27%, and Wall Street futures are pointing higher, too. The Dow is at its lowest point since October 2002. It fell 100 points Friday to 7,366. The Nasdaq and S&P closed slightly lower. Dan mentioned that world markets were doing okay on the Citigroup talk. European shares are up, and shares in Asia were mostly higher. Campbell's Soup Company reports earnings today. Analysts expect the company to turn a profit, though not quite as good as a year ago. That's because competition is heating up. Walmart plans to make over its private food label in the next few weeks to attract more shoppers, as an example. Danielle Carson has more.
Retailers' private brands rake in more profits than national brands. For consumers, private label products save them money. Analysts say Walmart's decision to spruce up its Great Value food line with new packaging and store ads is a shrewd move.
Their target market is really the group who's searching desperately to save money. So they're more or less obligated to give people this kind of a value choice.
John Stanton teaches food marketing at St. Joseph's University. He says lots of shoppers are scrambling for good deals, and Walmart's label facelift should attract more of them. But he says other food makers shouldn't be nervous.
People are searching everywhere to save money, but it doesn't mean everyone is going to give up convenience, taste, in order to save money on the private label brand.
Stanton says the success of brand name companies comes from developing new products and innovating, not dollar-for-dollar price competition. I'm Danielle Carson for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, a not-for-profit financial service provider helping its members navigate troubled economic times. Thrivent.com/new offers. And by Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build stronger customer relationships through email marketing. ConstantContact.com.
President Obama signed the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act into law last week. also known as the $787 billion stimulus package. Just before the bill went to the president's desk, Senate Banking Committee Chair Chris Dodd added a little amendment that essentially bars bonuses for executives of banks that took bailout money. The amendment doesn't limit salaries, so there are plenty of ways to make up for what would have been in that bonus check. And that's only part of what has Alan Sloan riled up this morning.
And now it's time for the Sloan Sessions.
All right, Alan, you say the move against bonuses is symbolic at best, and that there are plenty of ways that Congress could take on changes that would have some actual meaning that could help people hurting most in this economy. How would you set that agenda?
Well, I have three really simple things, two of which involve what I consider credit card abuses that are legal but wrong. And the third involves closing what I think is the biggest and most egregious loophole that shovels tons and tons of money to a select handful of people on Wall Street.
Well, let's start with credit cards. What would you do there?
All right. There's this provision which pretty much says we can do whatever we want to do as long as we give you notice. And one of the nasty little things that happens is if you miss a single payment on a single credit card, suddenly, instead of paying 12% interest, which to me is bad enough, you find yourself paying 29.9% interest on all of your cards, and you're just sort of stuck. And that should be made illegal. I don't care how it's done, but that's just wrong. The second credit card thing that drives me absolutely wild is the way that credit card companies, which is to say banks, go fishing for people with troubled finances and try to get them to have cards on the assumption that they'll pay a lot of interest and a lot of fees before they go under, because this whole thing is aimed at people who shouldn't be borrowing.
One of the other things you mentioned was this tax loophole, and I imagine you're mostly talking about people like hedge fund managers that are managing to bring in some major cash despite what's happening to the economy because of the bets they're making.
Exactly. So if you run a hedge fund or a buyout fund and you get a piece of your investor's profit, which is called a carried interest, in most cases, the carried interest that the managers get is taxed like capital gains, which on the federal level is 15% rather than ordinary income, which for these guys would be 35% plus a little bit more for Medicare. I mean, it's just an outrage. And it's been kicking around in Washington for a couple of years, but no one's going to do anything because Wall Street is a source of enormous campaign contributions.
What does it take for something like this to be addressed?
I think it would take a batch of national outrage, and right now I don't see it because I see most people, including on occasion me, worried about survival.
Fortune Magazine's Alan Sloan, thank you.
You're welcome.
Share your thoughts on Mr. Sloan's suggestions or give us your own at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. Hope you have a good Monday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.